The Bush administration has been struggling to put the best face on the interim report on weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. That report found much evidence of Saddam Hussein's desire to have chemical, biological, and nuclear weapons, but no evidence so far that he had stockpiles of those weapons when the U.S. went to war. That's fueling debate about the president's justification for the war, and it's certain to be a big factor when this president or his successors face future threats, NPR's Mike Schuster reports.
Iraq was and is a huge test case of what has come to be known as the Bush Doctrine, of preempting threats from states seeking weapons of mass destruction, of striking first before terrorists have the chance to attack the U.S. with such deadly weapons, and in the war's aftermath of bringing democracy to the Middle East through the use of force. On each count, Iraq is failing the test, says Michael Nacht, the dean of the School of Public Policy at the University of California at Berkeley and former assistant director of the Arms Control and Disarmament Agency.
The inability to find any of these weapons now, 5 or 6 months after the end of the war, is not only, to me personally, a great surprise, but it is very damaging to the credibility and legitimacy of what we're trying to do.
President Bush and his chief advisors argued strenuously before the war that Iraq retained large stockpiles of hidden prohibited weapons. With no certainty that that will eventually prove true, the president continues to assert that Saddam Hussein was a danger to the world. Secretary of State Powell argued last week that the Iraqi leader's intentions were dangerous enough to justify war.
Whatever they had on hand at the moment, they were determined to have the capability to develop chemical, biological, and nuclear weapons, if allowed to do so. And it is clear that they never lost that intent, the programs were kept intact, and they were just waiting to see if they could break out of sanctions, if they could break away from the constraints of the United Nations and start all of these programs up again to build on top of that which they already had.
Last week's interim report from David Kaye seems to suggest, though, that the containment of Iraq had been successful. In putting forward his doctrine of preemption, President Bush declared that containment was no longer as reliable a tool to handle the threats of the post-September 11th world as it was during the Cold War. Kaye reported that the 1991 Gulf War and the efforts of UN weapons inspectors coupled with economic sanctions had largely kept Saddam Hussein's appetite for weapons of mass destruction in check. Containment in this case worked, says Scott Sagan, director of the Center for International Security and Cooperation at Stanford University.
The bottom line of the Kaye report is that that regime of inspections did an excellent job in getting rid of large-scale chemical weapons and programs, utterly destroyed the nuclear weapons program, and destroyed most, albeit not all, of the biological program.
Democrats have seized on the Kaye report to castigate the Bush administration for what they say was a manipulation of the available intelligence on Iraq. This is Michigan Senator Carl Levin, ranking member of the Armed Services Committee.
This isn't an issue about intentions or what the hopes were or what the plans were or what the programs were. What took us to war were statements about weapons of mass destruction in the possession of Saddam Hussein and the threat of their imminent use.
Many Democrats charge that the Bush administration set its gun sights on Saddam Hussein first and ignored any intelligence that undermined its case for war. But Michael Nacht argues that the American search for prohibited weapons in Iraq has been far more thorough than the UN's could ever have been, despite the possible unpleasant conclusions for the Bush administration.
We couldn't know what we know now without having done what we did. That's the great irony of this. There's no way we could have had, I believe, the kind of fully intrusive inspections that we currently have without the war.
And now, not only is the administration fighting a rearguard attack on its justifications for the war, but the controversy complicates its effort to confront other serious threats. Dealing with the other poles of the axis of evil, North Korea and Iran, says Michael Nacht, has become more difficult.
There really are some bad guys out there. If you don't prepare yourself properly, you know, you could get hurt very badly. We are going now to tie our own hands in part out of the conviction that we can't believe our own government's assessment about the threats.
Nacht believes it is also harder now to convince many in the Arab world that the U.S. really does want to establish a democracy in Iraq because the justification for the war that ousted Saddam Hussein is now seen to be dubious. And the credibility problem is likely to extend beyond the presidency of George W. Bush, says Stanford Scott Sagan.
It will be much more difficult for any president of the United States in the future to argue that a threat is so imminent and so unavoidable that the United States and its allies need to act first.
The very policies designed to confront the most dangerous threats to the U.S. may thus become a casualty of the war they were used to justify. Mike Schuster, NPR News, Los Angeles.